Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians. We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. This morning I want to read one verse of Scripture as our text verse this morning, and we'll build our message off of that verse of Scripture. And this morning there'll be some obviously doctrinal instruction from the Word of God when it comes to our salvation, but also some practical application of that. And I'm glad that the Bible tells us what we should believe, how you can be saved, what salvation is, why you can't lose your salvation. I'm glad the Bible tells us how to live, the importance of His Word, the importance of His church. I'm glad any confusion there is in the world about what is truth and is not truth is because we either haven't gone to the source of truth or we've twisted what the Bible really says. And so I'm thankful for doctrinal instruction, but I'm also thankful that God cares enough about us to not just give us the doctrine of why, if I can say it like this, why things work the way they work spiritually, or the importance of that and what we're to believe, but practically how to live and what it does for us. I mean, aren't you glad for salvation this morning? Aren't you glad that if you're saved, how many of you are saved this morning? You don't have to worry about hell. Now, we should be warning others about hell because we don't want anybody to go to hell, but you'll never spend them and say, what if I lose my salvation? You can't lose your salvation because it's not up to you. All you have to do is receive Christ as your personal Savior, and we are sealed until that day of redemption. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful. If you're saved, you shouldn't have that burden on your shoulders. So what if the world comes to an end? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. When it all falls apart, we're not going to be here. You say, is it going to get worse than this? Oh, it's going to get much worse than this. But I'm glad I'm not going to be here for that. And so there's practical applications to what the Bible teaches us, the truths of Scripture. And so Christians should live with joy. Are you saved? Are you happy about it? Well, Pastor, you don't understand my circumstances. Well, that's not joy. Joy comes from within. I have no idea where all this is coming from, but I'm enjoying saying all this morning. So I try and wake some of you up. You're hibernating. It's not that time. But, so there's practical application, and we're going to make some of that this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17. Follow along with me as we read verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, so we see if any man, that's you, that's me, that's those that think they were good, those that think they were bad, those that got saved in children's church, those got saved out of the gutter, if any man be in Christ. Now, I'm a Baptist because the Bible, I believe, teaches us to be Baptist. That's not up for debate. That's a hill I will die on. I am a Baptist. But it doesn't say if any man be a Baptist. It said if any man be in Christ. Aren't you glad that there's that possibility that any man can be in Christ? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He is not a better creature. Is that what the Bible says? New creature. When you got saved, you just didn't become a better version of you. You didn't just turn over a new leaf. No, you became a new creature. What took place in that instant is a change that only God can do. You think the moment you put your faith and trust, well, was it right when I said these words? It's not the words you prayed in a prayer. It's that belief in your heart that you're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may have confessed that as the Scripture teaches, but it was that moment that took place, the blood of Christ washed away your sins. In heaven, your record was changed from your sinful record to Christ's perfect record. You're sealed into the day of redemption. So many things took place when you became a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Obviously, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the Corinthian church, he's writing this, and God's word is declaring something to us in verse number 17. He's declaring these truths. There's no questioning of these truths. This is a reality. And if you're saved this morning, you need to be reminded that the day you got saved, you became a new creature. Let me say it like this. Your identity is now in Christ. This morning, I want to preach on this subject, living beyond the stigmas. Living beyond the stigmas. We'll be helped this morning if we'll let the Holy Spirit help us. Father, I pray that you'd use your word this morning. Work in the hearts and lives of your people. Encourage us, challenge us. I pray some will get victory today. I pray some will get the courage to step forward in their new life in Christ. And actually, because they are your child, live like your child. Rejoice in being your child. And Father, may we realize how important this verse of Scripture is in the life of the believer. May we be helped today. If there's one who's yet to put their faith and trust in Christ, may today be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We think about labels. We think about the fact that labels can be cruel. I'm not talking about a helpful kind. When I go to the grocery store, I'm glad there's labels on packages. I'm glad that we can be told this is what this is. I'd hate to come home with something that I didn't want. I mean, I'd hate to come home. You know, it's harder now. It's like you come home and your wife's like, did you get everything? It's like, well, how'd all that ice cream get in there? I don't know how that happened. Was labeled. But there's something cruel about labels when we're talking about people. We are quick, the world and people, and sadly even Christians and even churches. And I'm glad it's not this way here. And this message is to encourage us today, but it's also to remind us as a church that the church should be a stigma-free zone. It's lost and saved. It's born again and not born again. But we stick labels on people. Somebody fails and we label them a failure. In this room this morning are a bunch of people who have failed. And if you want to meet me in the foyer and say, Pastor, I didn't know I was going to church with a bunch of people who failed. I've never done that before. Well, let me just say this is a room full of liars too. Or maybe it's addict. Divorced. Single mom, single dad, that family, troublemaker, prodigal. Prodigal is a Bible term, but just because when the prodigal came home, the father didn't always refer to him as the prodigal. The servants didn't refer to him as the prodigal. He was the son. Well, that person, they have a sincere heart, but they're not the kind of material that could really do something from the Lord. Or the label of from the wrong side of town. Or maybe they were a criminal, or they used to be. The word stigma is any mark of infamy. And truth of the matter is, this world is full of stigmas. We place stigmas on others. Others place stigmas on us. And see, the worst labels, if I can just be plain this morning, and I will be, aren't even the ones other people give us. They're the ones that we start believing about ourselves. See, the devil is a master label maker. He's a master at stigma. Because if he can define you, he can limit you. if he can define you in the minds of other Christians and weak Christianity, then he can limit to what you're able to do. If he could label you in your own mind as a failure or somebody who has a past they can't overcome, or I'm just never going to be above this, then he can limit you to what you can do for God. But God does something different. When you got saved, he didn't just forgive you, and I'm thankful he did forgive. But he didn't just forgive you. He renames you. He redefines you. He recreates you. Say, Pastor, how is there proof of this? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, let me remind all of us this morning, you are not your stigma. You are not your label. You are who God says you are. And while you may be able to say, these things are in my past, it is not your identity, because if you're saved, you are in Christ, you are in Him, you have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, and you are this morning who God says you are. See, the world is quick to label. The world loves boxes. They want to put you in a box. The world wants to put you in a box. And by the way, friend, we shouldn't fall into this same habit, because if they can categorize you, they dismiss you. Well, we don't have to listen to so-and-so. Has it ever occurred to God's people that the devil in the world has been in the business of label and stigmatizing, because then you can dismiss the truths that are being said? Well, that pastor's just a sinner. Well, yeah. And the reason that people want to highlight on that is to distract from their own sins. But it's also to push aside the truth that is said. And the truth doesn't change. And God has always used sinful people to proclaim His truth. You ever thought about Rahab? The harlot. That's how she's referred to. That's how she's referenced. Might I remind you this morning, Rahab the harlot was used by God to preserve those spies sent to that pagan city. God spared her and her family, and I hate to break it to the Pharisee this morning, but Rahab is in the lineage of Christ. David, the shepherd boy. David, the one who smote the lion and the bear, grabbed him by the beard. And this is the way I describe it. He didn't just kill him from 250 yards through a scope. He looked him eyeball to eyeball and saw the life leave them. David, the shepherd boy. David, the anointed king. But David, the adulterer. But yet, if you study the scripture, David never lost his anointing. Saul did, but David didn't. And this morning, I'm not justifying anything anybody does. I'm just simply saying, when you are in Christ, it's what Christ does in you and through you and with you. It's not a label that somebody else puts on you. Peter, the loudmouth, the potty mouth, Peter, that rough fisherman, Peter, who warmed by the fire, not just the devil's fire, but the very fire of those who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you come back from that? How do you deny Christ at the very fire with those who are crucifying and torturing the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Peter did not come back from that, because it's not a work that Peter could do. It's because Peter was in Christ, And it's because the Lord did not give up on Peter, and the Lord still had a plan on Peter. Paul, the persecutor. Paul, who was the murderer. Paul, who was vile, but he met the Lord Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus and was saved and changed. And I just don't understand how God could use a man like such and such, and like a man like, I just don't understand. And this person has messed up, and this person made a mistake, and this person has this in their past. I just don't think a pure gospel could be used by an impure man to do any good at all. You mean like the Apostle Paul, who was a sinner and vile. And if you read the Bible, when Paul describes himself, Paul never got over the fact of what he was, but he also realized who he was in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how comfortable Mary Magdalene fit in to the local church. You know, the demon-possessed woman. The woman who had the devils. See, this is what the world does. And if I did nothing but preach the introduction this morning, I think it'd be a help to us. Don't get your hopes up. But what the world and what people do, and if we're not careful as Christians, we do the same thing. The world wants to freeze people in their worst moment. That's what stigma does. It takes your lowest chapter and calls it your whole story. Some people in church live under old headlines. They used to drink. They used to run around. They used to be part of this. They used to fall flat on their face. They used to be involved in all these things. And every time they try and serve God, they hear that little whisper, "Who do you think you are? And why do you think you're gonna? Why do you think you can teach the Word of God? And why do you think you can serve in that capacity? What if they find out that you were a sinner before you came to Christ? What if they find out what you were involved in?" Listen to me. Careful, that whisper you hear is not the Holy Spirit. That's the accuser trying to keep you labeled and under the stigma of an old sinner. But friend, can I remind you, he's the accuser of the brethren. And when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we became a new creature. Aren't you thankful you can say, "Yeah, I'm a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner." And God says that my identity is now in Him. So we should probably think less about what this world might call us and more about what God calls us. Let me give you some truths to think on. Number one, stigmas become strongholds when we believe them. When you were a kid and people call you names, "I'm rubber and you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you." Anybody remember that? Okay. I heard three ladies out in the foyer saying that before service. So, stigmas become strongholds when we believe them. I said this in some setting. Maybe it was the leadership meeting yesterday morning. Only liars get mad when you call them liars. You know, only backsliders get upset when you say you're a backslider. Only thieves get mad when you say you're a thief. And this is the difference. Well, you're a sinner. Well, I am a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. It is not about, it's not somebody else's opinion about you. It becomes a stronghold when you believe, the devil convinces you, that your lowest moment or your hardship or your heartache is who you are. Wow. See, somebody else's stigma against you can cause some hurt. But that stigma that you adopt inside of you, that you believe, that's what enslaves you. There are Christians in the room this morning, I would say, while you are 100% forgiven, you're still ashamed. You're saved, but you're still hiding. Maybe you're even serving, but you're not confident in your service. You're not going as far as you could because in your mind, you're still the kid from the broken home. You're the one who failed in the past. You're just the person that has that failed marriage, or they have the wayward child, or you have the wasted years. And let me say to the young people, don't waste your years. Be a good steward of what God has given you. And while you're young, give it to God. Don't fall into this mindset of, well, I'm going to live for me and then I'll come back and serve God. Your whole life belongs to God. But it becomes a stronghold when you believe the stigma. Can I remind you this morning? When you keep calling yourself what God no longer calls you, you're agreeing with your enemy. When you keep calling yourself what God no longer calls you, you're agreeing with your enemy. God says forgiven. God says redeemed. God says accepted. God says beloved. What do we as people, what do we say? Oh, damaged, disqualified, second rate. And can I say, that's not humility. That's unbelief. Because we either believe that we're a new creature in Christ because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We either believe we're a new creature in Christ or we don't. We either believe that all things are passed away because all things are become new, or we don't. And we have a stronghold in our own life when we begin to believe the stigma or the labels that the devil puts on us, the world puts on us, we even put on ourselves. Friend, it doesn't matter who you are not second class. It doesn't matter what you were saved out of. It doesn't matter if you were saved and then got away from God. It doesn't matter if your whole life fell apart. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He shed His blood for you. He paid the ultimate price for you. He loved you enough to come and suffer and take upon the sins of the world for you. That's who you are. You are a child of God, redeemed by God, and you are complete in Christ. Let me say number two, Christ gives you a new identity. Can I help us this morning? Salvation is just not behavior modification. Now, your behavior should change because you're born again. But you don't get saved just to change your behavior. It's not behavior modification. It's identity transformation. I am a child of God. Why are you so confident? You're so full of yourself. I'm not full of me. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I'm a child of God. Now, we need to understand something. If you're saved this morning, all you did was believe in what Jesus did. You didn't have a part. Your only part was faith. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't clean yourself up enough. There's nothing you could do to save yourself. So we should not have pride in being saved because if Jesus did not pay that price, none of us can be saved. But can I say this also this morning? If you're a child of God, you got to pick your head up a little bit. You are joint heir with Christ. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have a home being constructed in heaven. God is your Father. You don't answer to this world. There ought to be something inside of us that says, I know I couldn't save myself. I know there's nothing I could do for me, but I belong to Him. And it's His blood that was shed for me. It's my identity is in Him. You can label me a sinner. You can label me a failure. You can label me that addict. You can label ridicule me from the wrong side of the street. You can discount me as the kid that grew up in a bad home. But let me tell you something. I am a child of the King because Christ gave me a new identity. Hear me this morning. There's some of you in here. You need to understand now that you are a new creature. You do not have to go through, and yes, we should be growing, and yes, that's our theme. We want to grow as a Christian this year, but you don't have to catch up with others who might have grown up in church. The moment you got saved, you were put into the family. You were grafted in. You belong to Him. You're good enough now to say to my Heavenly Father, would you use me in some capacity? You're good enough now to be used in the Old Testament, in the New Testament church, to serve in some capacity. You have a new identity. You're accepted in the Beloved. You're justified, redeemed. The Bible says you're more than a conqueror. Well, you read the Scripture and you read what the Bible says about salvation. Can I remind you that God never describes you by your past? He describes you by your position. We ought to be able to, if you could say, well, I am a former addict, you ought to use that testimony for the glory of Christ. But it's not your identity. God in heaven doesn't look down and say, where's that former addict at? He says, where's my son? Where's my child? Where are they? He is in me. He doesn't see that. He sees you the record of his son. Oh, I'm a failure. Let me just say, as a church, I believe we have this spirit, and I want us to keep this spirit. And with God as my helper, as long as I'm the pastor, we'll have this spirit. If you fail, if you got away from God, if you made a mess of things and you come back to Him, don't you hang your head when you walk in here. If you've got it right with God, it's right with Him. If it's right with Him, it's right with the church. And you can serve God, and you don't have to sit in the back until you work your way with your good works. No, you belong to Him. Imagine a prince saying, I'm just a street kid. I'm just a drunkard's kid. No, you're not. You've been adopted into royalty. Let me say number three. I'll move along. God specializes in using the stigmatized. Now, I've enjoyed this message up to this point, but this might be my favorite part. You know, if God only used perfect people, heaven would be empty. Churches would be vacant. Can I remind you this morning who God uses? He used Moses. The murderer. He used Moses to lead his people out of bondage. Next time the devil tells you that you're not worthy to serve the Lord, you're not worthy to even speak His name. By the way, we're not, but let me help you. Next time you read through the book of Genesis, I want you to be reminded that God used a murderer to write that. He used Moses, who had to live with the stigma. And you know when Moses got victory? After spending some time understanding that it's not about a stigma that somebody's placed on me about a mistake I've made, God said, you march right back in there to where you made that mistake, where you committed that offense. You're going to march right back in there and you're going to say, let my people go because God I am has sent me. And friend, whatever, if you're still here, you're not defined by your past. If you're still here, you're not defined by some stigma. Well, could I ever serve the Lord? I'm just a single mom. Could I ever serve the Lord? I'm just all alone. Could I ever serve the Lord? If pastor ever found out what was in my past, you'd be surprised about the people in this room this morning and how God takes care of all of that. And God cleans that up. And God covers that with His blood. And He will still use those who have failed. Jacob, the deceiver. I mean, I still remember as And of course, I grew up in church and I heard all the Bible stories. And when you're young like that, maybe others didn't think this way, but I thought everybody in the Bible, they were good guys. And I heard Jacob and stories about him. Then when you really start reading about Jacob and realize he wasn't a very good guy. What an example, Jacob the deceiver. But he wrestled with God that day. God did a work in him, and he wasn't Jacob anymore, he was Israel. And God would name his people after the deceiver. What another picture if God doesn't use perfect people, and God will take somebody with a broken past, and God will take somebody with imperfections and use them. We've already mentioned Rahab had that immoral past. But yet, what an example when God makes the change. God can take somebody who had that immoral past, who was known in that city for their immorality, and said, she has believed in me. She has believed on my son. She is cleansed. She's cleansed so much. I'm going to preserve for eternity the fact that this harlot, because of salvation, because of the conversion, because of what I can do, I think enough of my power, my cleansing power, I'll put her in the lineage of Christ. When you think of King David, I would dare say the average person does, the first thing that comes to mind is not the adulterer. And by the way, let me help us with that just a little bit. It was another one of those aha moments. You hear all the Bible stories and you hear growing up, David committed adultery and that was the sin, the great sin that he committed. And then you learn that he actually murdered. So I'm saying, well, murder must not be as bad as adultery. Because nobody ever talks about that. But friend, it's just another example of what God does in a life when he cleans it up and when there is confession. And there is restoration with God. God has recorded for us that he'll take somebody with a stigma and he'll use them because, friend, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's our goodness. Our good works are like filthy rags. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about his power. Everywhere Paul went and God's work was done, those religious people had to scratch their heads. It doesn't make sense to me. The obvious work of God, the power of God in the murderer. What a reminder that God doesn't need perfection because he is perfection. God uses the stigmatized. Can I say this morning before I move to the last point, if stigma disqualified you, the Bible would have no heroes. God's not a respecter of persons. This morning I am not dismissing what we were. I'm not dismissing how life has taking paths we didn't anticipate. I'm not dismissing our own failures. I am just wanting us to see this morning that it's not about us, it's about a good and gracious God who loved us enough to send his son so we might have salvation. But yet through salvation, we become a new creature. This morning, my goal is for some of you to step by the shadows and put behind you, say, yeah, this world may stigmatize me and the devil may stigmatize me, but I'm a new creature in Christ. I can answer that call. I can serve in that capacity. I can be a blessing. I can be a witness. I can serve in the church. I have value not in my works, but in who I am in Christ. My value is not in my talent. My value is not in my pedigree. My value is not in a so-called perfect plan life. My value is in the fact that I'm a new creature in Christ, and he specializes in taking the outcasts. He specializes in taking the failures. He specializes in taking the broken and crafting them to be used to His honor and glory. Number four, and finally, let me give you some practical ways to break free of the stigmatism. Number one, stop rehearsing your past. Stop rehearsing your past. If it's in your past, leave it there. You know the song, "What Sins Are You Talking About?" We want to talk about sins. God's like, "What are you talking about? I've chosen to forget that. It's under the blood." And quit introducing yourself to what you used to be. Welcome to church. I'm glad you're here, but I got to let you know what I used to do. I'm not focused on what we used to be. How about the fact that we are in Christ? And I give this counsel when they do get away from God, whether they get away from church or not, and they get involved in something they shouldn't be in, and they come and they make things right. I tell them this every time. You don't talk to anybody about it. You don't owe anybody else an explanation. If you get it right with God, you're right with the church, leave it in your past. It does not define you. Stop rehearsing your past. Next, replace labels with Scripture. When your mind says, "I'm a failure," answer yourself, "I'm complete in Him." And we got to decide whether we believe God or ourselves. And I've been in conversation with some of you. You shouldn't believe a thing you say. Do we believe God or do we believe ourselves? And by the way, again, those failures will try and claw in us and pull us back into when we weren't useful for God. But replace it with Scripture. When your mind says, "I'm not worthy," answer, "But I'm accepted in the Beloved." Let me say number three as far as how do we break free practically, serve anyway. "Well, Pastor, I can't wait till I get over that and get complete victory over that to start serving." No, just serve anyway. Can I help you this morning? I hope this doesn't make you think less of your pastor. But I can't tell you how unworthy I feel to stand behind this pulpit and open that book. I can't tell you how unworthy I feel to get on my knees to stand between the living and the dead. I can't tell you how worthy I feel. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God just like you are. You're not the only one who passes that offering plate that says, "Oh, I can't believe I'm serving in a church." If these people knew where I was and who I was, friend, none of us are worthy to even speak the name of Jesus. None of us are worthy to serve in His name. If you wait till you feel worthy, you're never going to serve. You're never going to feel worthy. Serve Him anyway, because it's serving with obedience. I am commanded to serve. I am commanded to do. Don't wait until you feel worthy. Serve Him because He is worthy. Fourth practical application, surround yourself with grace-filled believers. Some churches sadly magnify past in people. I'm glad this one's not that way. Healthy churches magnify Christ. You know, I love the spirit of this church. I think it's a scriptural spirit, a Christ-like spirit. And Pharisees will label a church like ours as a church that covers sin. When I do that, I say, well, I guess we're in good company with the blood of Christ that covers sin. But I believe in the grace of God. I believe there's no man worthy to speak the name of Christ. I believe there's no man worthy to preach the gospel. I believe there's no man worthy except that we are in Christ. a new creature. And friend, don't be the negative one that says, well, I want to wait and see how that all turns out. Don't be the person with the bucket of cold water when somebody gets excited and says, in spite of what I was, not only would Jesus die for me, not only would God forgive me and save me, but He would allow me to serve Him. He would allow me to give a cup of cold water in His name. He would allow me to hold a door so other Christians could come in and out. He would allow me to change dirty diapers so people could listen to the preaching. He would allow me to do all of those things and say, well, don't ever forget what you were. Don't be that kind of person. Surround yourself with people who are filled with grace. I'll finish with this. If the devil had his way, you'd spend your whole life wearing a name tag that described what you were, would describe your situation that you didn't plan on being in. We describe your feelings in your heart and your mind when it takes you back. It would label you so that you could go through life and people you served in the church and people you met out in public, they would know you for what you really were. But if I can use a very simple illustration, when you got saved, heaven printed a new name tag that says, in Christ. It says, a child of the King. It says, mine. It doesn't say rejected. It doesn't say damaged goods. It doesn't say second class. It says redeemed. New. Friend, you're not your worst day. You're not your old reputation. You're not what others have said about you. You are who Christ says you are. And when Jesus changed your name, nobody gets to take it back. Nobody gets to improve on what He has done because there is no improvement this morning. My invitation is simple. If you're not saved, you've never been born again, today is the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have believed the devil's lie to say, well, I've got to clean myself up first before I get saved. You can't clean yourself up. The only hope you have is like the hope everybody else has, is that the power of God through the shed blood of Christ changes you, makes you a new creature. Come this morning and let somebody open the Scripture and show you from the words of God how you can be changed. You can be in Christ. You can be a new teacher, a new creature this morning. I'm not inviting you to become a Baptist necessarily. I'm not inviting you necessarily to get baptized. I'm inviting you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and become a new creature in Him. This morning, if you're struggling with shame, won't you come leave that at the altar? Won't you come have a conversation with your Heavenly Father and say, I'm putting all of that behind me, and you saved me. I can't change what's in the past. I can't change what I was. But thank you for saving me and making me a new creature in Christ. If you feel like you've been disqualified from serving, let me just help everybody. Man cannot disqualify you. I'm so weary of Christians saying, this person's been disqualified, and that person's been disqualified. Man can't disqualify anyone. We are in Christ. We all can serve. We all can do. There's something. Quit believing the lies of the devil that says, I'm not worthy. This morning, won't you come and say, God, if you'll use me, I'll offer myself. However you want to use me, I'll be used. But I'm not going to live under that stigmatism anymore. And I realize that that's the devil just playing his tricks and putting me in a box. But may I live today and every day after this day, realizing who I am. I'm somebody not because I lived a perfect life. I'm somebody not because I lived a good life. I'm somebody because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when heaven looks at me, I belong to God. This morning, leave your shame. Leave your past. I don't care about it. Lay it on the altar. Get it right. There's some of you this morning, I know it to be true with a crowd this size, you've yet to really get it right with Him because you think that you can never be used. You're avoiding that conversation with God. Some of you are avoiding what you know God would have you to do with your life because you messed up, because you got involved in something, because you made a mistake. My friend, let me ask you this morning, if the grace of God is enough to forgive you of all your sins, don't you think the grace of God is real enough that you can get that right with Him? And you can put it behind you and stop living in that past and stop torturing yourself in your mind of what you did that Jesus has already paid the price for. By the way, His blood was enough to cover all your sins before you got saved. His blood was still enough to cover the sins you've committed after you got saved, because it is the supernatural redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, why don't we just accept who we are in Him? I know we're nothing but flesh. I know we're nothing but failures. I know we all have made mistakes. We all come up short. But aren't you glad when it's all said and done, we're not going to be measured by that? But it's simply, I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible uses that word joint heir, meaning everything that Jesus, the Son of God, has a right to is going to inherit as a joint heir with Him. I have all the rights of heaven. I have all the rights of the Heavenly Father as Jesus Christ Himself. It's not because I worked it. It's not because I bought it. It's because of the grace of an Almighty God. Let's leave our shame at the altar. Let's go live a victorious life because of what Christ has done for us. We're in Christ, a new creature. Let's act like it. Father, help us today.